trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
Virtual worship here at First Presbyterian Church. We are so glad that you've joined us. My name is Stephen. I'm the lead pastor here at First Presbyterian. I have to confess, it just feels a little weird. I have to name the elephant in the room to be talking to a lot of empty pews. But wherever you are, however you are, we are so glad that you've chosen to join us. It is a little cruel that in the morning we really strongly encouraged you to stay home. It snowed, and we're the ones that have to be here. So we hope wherever you are that you're cozy. You perhaps are even in your PJs and you have your cup of coffee. You know, somebody told me this week they didn't think virtual worship was real worship. Actually, virtual worship is not the opposite of real worship. It's just the opposite of physical closeness. Virtual worship, what we're doing here this morning, is real worship. We are meeting you in your real lives. We're in your real, perhaps, living room, your real cup of coffee, your real pajamas that you're wearing. And we trust wherever you happen to be, that grace that meets us wherever we are, that grace meets us right where we need to be met. So I understand from some texts and emails, there are people from all across the country, even across the world in Australia, joining us. So welcome. We are so glad you're here. And for our community here at First Presbyterian Church, we hope you're comfortable. Don't get too comfortable, though, because this morning we really, really do miss your faces. I'd love to welcome Pastor Morgan, who is going to engage and interact with you online. And here she is back there.
Good morning, friends. I will be joining you on our live stream from my laptop back here, providing commentary and answering any questions you might have. So join us there.
One of the ways we enter into worship here each and every week is we invite people to make the transition from getting here and all of that it takes to get wherever you're getting to being here. So I trust even in your living room, your kitchen, that you might make the transition from getting to in front of your screen to truly being here. Because we trust that the holy and the sacred is not confined in this space. The holy and the sacred is everywhere where we are. So we light the Christ candle to invite us into this sacred time of worship.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was
Good morning. My name is Callie Elliott. I am the pastor for Spirituality and Care.
And my name is Shimiko Montgomery, and I'm the pastor for Justice and Mission. And we enter worship today with a reading from Psalm 27.
God is my light and my salvation. What shall I fear?
God is the strength of my life. Of what shall I be afraid?
Wait for the Lord. Be strong with courage of the heart.
Yes, wait for the Lord and let not your heart be troubled.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here I find my rest, and without you I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you all.
Becca Ellis. I work here on staff as the Director of Family and Children, and I'm just so glad that you can join us for worship this morning. I want to just say a special hello to any kids who might be watching, and parents, if your children are nearby and maybe they want to join us for a minute, I have a practice that I'm going to invite you into that they might enjoy participating with, but also this is really for anyone, whether you have children with you or not, because I think whether you're a grown-up or a child, things feel a little bit different right now. Maybe you're spending more time at home, or there were fun or important activities coming up that have been canceled, and that can be disappointing. And when things start to feel different, or we don't know what's coming next, it's so easy to become anxious or worried or maybe a little afraid or just unsure. And while those things are so normal to feel, it's also really good to be reminded that even when we feel that way, we don't have to feel alone. God is with us, and you are still loved. one of the things that really helps me when I'm feeling those feelings of fear or just not sure about what's happening is by saying a prayer. And I really enjoy prayers that I can feel in my body because it just helps me feel a little bit more present to what's going on around me or inside of my body. It helps me feel more calm and at peace. And so one of the easiest ways I've learned to do this is through a breath prayer. And it's really simple. You can do it anywhere. And you don't even need words. You simply breathe in and fill your chest with air as much as you can. And then exhale. Blow all that air out again. And you can even do this without words. You can just breathe in and out, slow and steady. And remember that you are loved, that you are not alone. So today, I just want to invite you into joining in this practice with me together. And you can find different words that you might connect with, but I'd like to share a couple of phrases that are found in the book of Psalms in the Bible. And you might just find this as a way to help ground you in your day. So I'm going to invite you, if you'd like, to place your hands on your chest so you can really feel the air enter your lungs. And as we inhale, we're going to say, "There is no fear." And as we let the air out again, "In your love." So let's join me in this prayer now. There is no fear in your love. Try that again. There is no fear in your love. Or another phrase that you might find helpful is, "I will not be afraid, for you are with me." And we can try that one together also. I will not be afraid, for you are with me. I will not be afraid, for you are with me. Before we continue on in worship together through song, I just also want to point out one of the essential elements to our weekly Sunday gatherings as we take a moment to bless our children and also one another. And if you attend regularly, you'll be familiar with these words, but if not, I still want to invite you into this moment, just another way to connect, even though we're not in close proximity to each other. And if you'd even like to extend your arms as a symbol that we're wrapping one another and our world in love as we say this together. So won't you join me, whether in word or just in heart, as we say, "You are loved by God no matter what. May you know love, grow in love, and show love to others." Amen.
It is in admitting the truth of our lives that we take the first steps away from fear and toward wholeness and healing. Will you join me in our prayer of confession? It is hard to not be afraid. Sometimes fear drives compassion from our hearts. Sometimes fear causes us to be inward focused, and we forget about the needs of others. It is hard not to have fear. Help us, O God, to not let fear have us and rule our lives. Help us to not be our fears. Help us to place our trust in you. Help us to not hold our breath in fear, but to remember to breathe. Friends, breathing out anxiety, breathing in the gift of every breath, breathing out worry, breathing in calm, breathing out selfishness, and breathing in compassion, breathing out panic, breathing in wisdom and reason, breathing out scarcity, breathing in gratitude, breathing out fear, breathing in your love that will hold us fast and never let us go. In the silence, breathe and remember God's presence is closer than your own breath. Friends, hear and believe the good news. There is nothing in all of creation, there is nothing in life or in death that can ever separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. You are forgiven, you are loved, and you are given new life. Amen. And as we experience the peace of Christ, let us take a moment to rest in that peace that surpasses our understanding. And let that peace guard our hearts and our minds.
Today has been declared a National Day of Prayer. In a time where we are so divided, may our prayers be healing to one another. If you have a prayer to share, I invite you to share your prayer, whether it is a joy or a concern, on the comments on our online stream, or send us an email, and the pastoral staff will carry those prayers throughout this week. Let us join together in a prayer written by Cameron Belm called The Prayer for a Pandemic. May we who are merely inconvenienced remember those whose lives are at stake. May we who have no risk factors remember those who are most vulnerable. May we who have the luxury of working from home remember those who must choose between preserving their health or making their rent. May we who have the flexibility to care for our children when their schools close remember those who have no options. May we who have to cancel our trips remember those that have no safe place to go. May we who are losing our margin money in the tumult of the economic market remember those who have no margin at all. May we who settle in for a quarantine at home remember those who have no home. As fear grips our country, let us choose love. During this time when we cannot physically wrap our arms around each other, let us yet find ways to be the loving embrace of God to our neighbors. Lead us, gracious God, to live in the way of Jesus, caring for one another and always choosing love. We pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, 'twas grace.
things that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieve.
I know for many of you, this is the moment that you've been waiting for. Many of you who listen to me preach for a long time, this morning, you have a mute option. Hoping you don't do that. They are like creating torture for me here. Those who know me well know I kind of like to roam and move, and I have a nice little box here. So if all of a sudden I go out of your picture, I apologize. Frederick Buechner said, here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things happen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, easier said than done, right? These are fearful and anxious times. We find ourselves in this wilderness none of us expected, without necessarily a compass or direction or a map. You know, there's still a lot unknown about COVID-19, the novel coronavirus. I'm not sure it's unrealistic to say, don't have fears. You know, I think the great spiritual work that's in front of us at this particular time is to prevent our fears from having us. You know, fears can be a useful servant, but fears are a horrible, horrible master. You know, Jesus, one of the last messages that he gave to his disciples, his followers, and it was a time of intense threat, and there was a lot of fear and uncertainty, and Jesus turned to his friends, and he said, let not your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. Notice Jesus did not say, don't have fear. He said, do not be afraid. Do not be your fears. And I actually think that's the spiritual work in front of us, to not allow fear to consume us, to not allow fear to overwhelm us and to rule our lives. Because when fear takes over, wisdom and compassion don't have a chance. And if there are two things we need right now, wisdom and compassion. There's a verse in the Bible in the first letter to John, chapter 4, where it says, love, the kind of love embodied in Jesus, drives out fear. But it works the other way as well. Fear, when we allow it to overwhelm us, has a way of driving out love. So quickly, I just want to share two things that might help us manage our fear and navigate our way through this dark wilderness we now find ourselves in. And the two things are remember and reach out. Remember. You know, remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember, Buechner said, here is the world, beautiful, and terrible things happen. When terrible things consume us, fear has a way of making us forget what's beautiful. And what's beautiful is you are created in the image of God's goodness. Goodness It is who you are. You know, research has shown when people are in the midst of crisis and trauma, that's the first thing they forget. They forget who they are. Sometimes they lose track of their goodness. So remember who you are. Remember what's beautiful is there is a love promised to us in Romans chapter 8. There is a love from which we can never be separated. And that there is nothing, there is no virus, nothing that can take that love from us. You know, there was a dad who had his two-year-old in the grocery store. And this two-year-old was cranky and crying and whiny. And any parents out there know exactly what I'm talking about. And this dad was kind of walking through the aisles saying, "Be calm, Tommy. Be calm, Billy. Be calm. It's going to be okay, Billy. Breathe, Billy." And there was a woman standing nearby, and this woman wanted to encourage this dad and said, "Good job, Dad. You're doing a great job. You're being so, so patient with Billy." And this dad looked up and said, "I'm Billy. My son is Thomas." And then this dad, he picked up his little boy and he held him to his chest. And he began to sing to him, saying, "You are my Tommy, you are my Tommy. I am so happy you are my son. I wish you knew how much I loved you." And Tommy's eyes got really big and he got really, really quiet. Now, it didn't matter that the words didn't rhyme to the song. It didn't matter that the dad sang like me off key. In that instant, the goodness of the Father's love expressed through that song proved to be stronger than whatever was making Tommy cry. And then Tommy threw his arms in the air and said, "Again, Daddy, sing it again." We need to remember these days. There's a song in your heart. And if we can quiet those anxious thoughts, if we can quiet our fears long enough, we just might be able to hear it. You know, it's the song of our baptism. And whether you've been baptized or not, it really doesn't matter. It's the song that it is in every single person's heart. It's the song that says, "You are my beloved child. You are loved with a love that will never let you go. You are loved with a love stronger than anything you face, stronger than even death itself." You know, St. Julian of Norwich in the 14th century, in the midst of one of the three plagues that kind of swept through at that particular time, she said, "All shall be well. All shall be well, for there is a force of love moving through the universe that holds us fast and will never let us go." So remember who you are and whose you are. Remember you are loved. And then turn outwards and be the one that helps someone else remember and know that they are loved. You know, fear has such a way of turning us inward. Our power and our strength are found when we turn outwards. Viktor Frankl somehow survived the unspeakable evil of the concentration camps of Nazi Germany. And he went on to write a book about his experience, and he observed that those who somehow managed to survive this unspeakable, devastating evil, they all had something in common. And it wasn't their age, it wasn't their gender, it wasn't their health or their strength. In fact, what he noticed is those who didn't survive, They were the ones who took the little ration of bread that they were given every day, and they clutched it tightly, and they hoarded it to themselves, much like many are hoarding toilet paper to themselves these days. And that fear of kind of keeping it to themselves, fearing there wouldn't be enough, that fear diminished the life in them. And what he notices, those who somehow managed to survive, they're the ones who took the little piece of bread that they were rationed, and they opened their hands and they opened their hearts, and they gave it away. They gave it away to children and to the elderly and to the sick. And it was that kind of selfless, courageous love, the same kind of love we see in Jesus. It was that kind of love that proved to be stronger than the worst kind of evil itself. You know, it's not panic or fear that is compelling us to worship online, that's compelling us to shut the building down unless there are essential activities. It's not panic that's doing that. It's care that's compelling us. It's the commandment of the love of Jesus who said, love one another, especially those who are most at risk, those who are most vulnerable. You know, all of the cancellations and the closures and the major disruptions to our lives are generating this sense of foreboding and the sense of fear. What if we reframe that? And we're able to see all of these sacrifices that are being made across the nation, across the world. What if we reframe that? We're able to see that as an amazing act of solidarity and love. At a time when we're so divided by so many things, here we are sacrificing together for the sake of others. You know, this is Lent. This is the season we reflect on the sacrificial love of Jesus. I mean, no one expected that we'd find ourselves in this dark wilderness. But here we are. What if we were able to see the sacrifices we're being willing to make as an act of love? What if we were able to see the sacrifices that we are willing to make as a way of shaping us as a people less focused on me, 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 and as a people who begin to understand the importance of our shared humanity and we and the fact that we're all connected to one another? It is absolutely clear that the necessity of quite extreme social distancing is necessary not simply to save lives, but to prevent our already overwhelmed medical systems from becoming even more overwhelmed. I was listening to a report from a doctor who was expressing a very real fear that there's going to be a shortage of ventilators. It's almost a year to the day that my wife, Lori, spent 5 weeks in the ICU from a case of flu, fighting for her life. A ventilator saved her life. If we could sacrifice, and that our sacrifice lessened suffering, if our sacrifice saved a life, why wouldn't we do that? You know, what if we shifted our focus away from our fears and our frustrations and we began to see our sacrifices as a way of protecting the vulnerable and the most at risk? What if we began to see the sacrifices that we're willing to make as a way to give doctors and nurses and hospitals a fighting chance? I mean, that's the kind of love, the Jesus-shaped love that this time asks of us. You know, last Thursday, as a staff, I mean, we gathered to try to figure out, okay, what do we do? And we gathered mostly to ask the question, given all that's going on, how can we best care for our church community? But more than that, how can we best care for the wider community of Bend itself? In the midst, when there's so much that is terrible, how can we be good news? How can we not turn inward, but be a presence of love at a time like this? You know, we asked a simple question, how might it be possible that someone who needs help can simply ask for help, and that someone, out of the goodness of their heart, can respond to help them? Well, from that, Morgan and Becca, with their amazing imagination, creativity, and love, took it from there and ran with it. Within 15 minutes, they created a Facebook page called Pandemic Partners Bend. Now, amazingly, this morning, I think there are well over 5,000 people who've joined this Facebook page. The idea is simple. Someone, not people just part of our church community, but throughout the whole wider community of Bend, somebody just asks for help. And then somebody who can help responds out of the goodness of their heart. Well, within the first hour, I was watching this, and there was a man, I'm not sure how he heard about it, but he posted, "My immunity is compromised, and I'm not able to go outside. But I need medicine. I need to pick up my prescription. Can anybody help?" Within seconds, an absolute complete stranger said, "Yeah, I'll help," and went and picked up his prescription. That's love. That's hope. That's beautiful. That's the medicine that will cure the fear in our souls. You know, Lynn Unger wrote a poem called Pandemic. I just want to share the last line. Promise your love to this world. For better, for worse. In sickness and in health. As long as we all shall live. Promise your love to this world. Friends, remember you are loved, and promise your love to this world. With God's grace, we're going to get through this, but we're only going to get through this together. You know, as we continue our unique Lenten journey, traveling through this dark wilderness we find ourselves in, I'm reminded of the words of Barbara Brown Taylor, where she said, "New life always begins in the dark. Whether it be a seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, or Jesus in the tomb, new life always, always begins in the dark. May it be so."
Feet may fail, and there I find you in the middle.
grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never
Friends, thanks for joining us today. We hope that you'll join us again next Sunday at 10 a.m. Join us online. To receive this blessing, I invite you to just place your hand on your heart and trust that God is blessing you with the presence of a love beyond what you can imagine. And may you remember that you are loved. Loved with a love that will never let you go. And may love and compassion rise up within you, pushing fear to the back seat, so that wherever we find ourselves, we might love well, not in spite of our anxiety in these anxious times, but because of them. We can't join hands, but we can join hearts. May we join our hearts and be the presence of love. May peace be with you. May love be with you. Amen.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you may.
Presence of a Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is made.
My soul will